It's a Wolves Wednesday here on KATE, and that, of course, means we talk with Cal Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. And, Cal, like always, a good afternoon, and it's a good week to be a Wolves fan. Couple of wins in a row.
It certainly is. Yeah, they're out on the West Coast for a couple, but it's easier to stay up late when they treat you to thrilling victories like they did last night in Portland.
We'll get to the Portland game here in just a second, but let's talk about the game on Sunday against Brooklyn. And we mentioned this last week. We knew the Nets were not going to be the same team because no Kevin Durant. He's out for a while, but they still took care of business. A 136-125 was the final 11-point win for our Minnesota Timberwolves. Ant had 25 points to lead the way, and it doesn't matter if there's no Kevin Durant. It doesn't matter if there's no Steph Curry. Anytime you get a win against one of the powerhouses in the NBA, you're going to take it. And I thought Minnesota played very well against the Brooklyn team that still has a lot of talent with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. So I was still impressed with the win on Sunday, even though, again, the Nets were playing without KD.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, you never need to apologize for wins in the NBA at all, let alone against, you know, a former MVP and a guy in Kyrie Irving who's also been in those conversations. He's won championships. That's a really good Nets team. They're one of the best road teams in the league as well, especially since getting the services of Kyrie back for those road games. And I thought it was even more impressive of a victory when you kind of compare it to what went down last Wednesday in Atlanta, where, you know, the Wolves built up a big lead. They led by as many as 16 in that opening half and then just kind of lost their composure. And in the second half, as Atlanta made a run, you know, the building was rocking. And, you know, the Wolves, two quick technicals for Anthony Edwards. He was ejected, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
Playing in his hometown in front of a lot of friends and family. And then Karl Anthony Towns gets whistled for a flagrant and a technical as well. And I just thought everything kind of snowballed on the Wolves. And, you know, as sort of a young team kind of learning how to compete night in and night out, they just kind of, you know, lost grip on their emotions a little bit. So we were looking for them to come into that game on Sunday against the Nets and kind of put together a more complete, you know, 48-minute effort. Your opponents are going to go on runs, certainly, but it's more about how you sustain a lead if the opponent does rally or how you kind of answer right back in those scenarios. And I thought the Wolves did a great job in that win Sunday of never really letting anything snowball out of control against the Nets, and it all kind of added up to a really impressive win.
Now, Cal, the Nets, obviously one of the more high-profile teams in the NBA, and a couple of guys, Kyrie Irving is just a unique situation. Again, in the state of New York, he cannot play because he's not vaccinated. So he can only play road games, which has to make it different for Brooklyn when it comes to building team chemistry. That's one point with Brooklyn. And point number two, what happened to a Blake Griffin? Because I think he barely played on Sunday night. Is he kind of over the hill? Because he's definitely down the line when it comes to getting minutes for Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, he's a guy who's been in and out of their rotation, and that's kind of, I'm not sure if part of it's matchup-driven, but they certainly have guys that they can, you know, go back and forth with. LaMarcus Aldridge is another name. But, yeah, Kyrie's only available in the road games. James Harden has kind of spoken about how that's really difficult for them to manage, and, you know, you obviously don't have a consistent lineup that you can count on. These guys that build up so much chemistry with one another in terms of, you know, where you're going to be on the floor, can I throw you a no-look pass when I'm driving, all that stuff. So I'm sure it's been hard, but the Nets at times have made it look really easy, and that's because of all that talent that they have and can kind of rely on each you know, night in and night out.
Cal Soderquist again, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network, joining us here on a Wolves Wednesday. And, Cal, as a big-time, hardcore Timberwolves fan, is it okay for me to be upset that one of the co-owners of the Timberwolves was wearing a Green Bay Packers hat over the weekend? Am I okay being upset with that? I mean, I know you cover the team, you work for the team, so maybe you can't say a whole lot. But as a fan, I think someone's got to get a memo to A-Rod and say, I get it. I get it. You were at the game. Your head was cold. You bought yourself a cap. But we got to teach A-Rod that's just not how it works here in Minnesota.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching the game, too. Obviously, it's a little bit easier probably for Wolves fans to stomach when they see Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners pull off that upset win on the road. It was an awesome game to watch from start to finish. And, you know, it's one of those deals, you know, I don't know. I certainly understand frustrations from fans. If, you know, the Packers, almost everyone who's a Wolves fan is probably a Vikes fan. And so you feel a certain way about the Packers. I totally get that. It just comes down to, you know, you got to understand that A-Rod is not from here. He probably has a different football team that he's rooting for. I think the gal that was seated with him probably had quite an impact on him donning the Packer gear and getting to root for them for that night. We all know how it goes. You know, if you have a significant other, you do make some sacrifices from time to time. And I think, you know, I honestly couldn't tell you, you know, I think of the Wilfs who own the Vikings. And yeah. I have to guess that they're maybe fans of either the New York Knicks or the Brooklyn Nets. You know, they're from the New York area. So it's one of those deals where when you see it on your TV screen and the guy's wearing the memorabilia, certainly it's a little more jarring, I guess, or tough to swallow. But I honestly don't know what the average, you know, local owner, if how often or how passionately they root for some of the other teams in market. It's just one of those things I haven't, I guess, paid close attention to.
You know, and it could be any other team. I think is what irked fans and why Twitter went crazy is because it was the Green Bay Packers. And I joked my 13-year-old son. I said, you know, the next Timberwolves game I'm going to wear a Boston Red Sox hat and a David Ortiz jersey. Just to see if the co-owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves would enjoy the gear I was wearing at Target Center. Again, Cal Soderquist on a Wolves Wednesday. And let's talk about the two matchups. No, before we talk about two very tough road matchups tomorrow and Friday, hey, we can't forget about a great game we had on Kate Radio last night. Hopefully you stayed up late with us. The Minnesota Timberwolves had a rally to beat Portland. They beat the Trailblazers 109-107. Kind of a crazy last 30 seconds of the game as Portland ties things up. D'Angelo Russell gets a bucket on a goaltending. Portland's got a chance to win it at the buzzer. Three-pointer is no good. And, again, Portland not at full strength. But I think we mentioned this last week. We do not go to Portland and ever win. We won there earlier this season. Now it's two wins in Portland this year, which is something in franchise history. Again, the T-Wolves never win. And you mentioned this earlier, Cal. We're never going to apologize for a victory last night. Very impressive to go there and find a way to get it done.
Yeah, it's been a house of horrors for the Timberwolves in recent years. And obviously, you know, the Blazers were without Damian Lillard last night. They're kind of a different team this season compared to some of those years where they just conceivably were always a top six or seven team in the West with the Lillard, CJ McCollum backcourt. But yeah, the Wolves won there earlier in the season, and to get a second win in that building already is something that the Wolves have actually only done three times in franchise history, and they hadn't done it in 17 years. So to do that against a division rival, regardless of who's available or unavailable, I think is impressive. And then the fact that, you know, they trailed by 13 a couple different times in the game. They trailed early in that fourth quarter. And then Anthony Edwards just kind of put the team on his back for a stretch. You know, he had 40 points in the game. He had 14 in that fourth quarter. He was unconscious. You mentioned the D'Lo bucket, you know, a goaltend, but it counts as two. It counts as two for D'Lo, and I think it just counts on his resume continuing to hit those tough shots in clutch time. So it's great to be able to lean on him, and it's great that you've got other weapons that can kind of, you know, certainly take away some of the defensive attention. And the Wolves can really force, you know, opposing defenses to essentially pick their poison in those scenarios. So it was fun to see. The Wolves were certainly charged up about it afterwards. And I think it's a win that, you know, is really important when you consider kind of the step up in class that they're about to have with some of these upcoming teams that they're going to play, even on this road trip and then when they come back home as well. So, it was important. I think the team was feeling the urgency, and I think it's a big win that hopefully they can keep rolling.
Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network, here on Wolves Wednesday. And before we let you go, let's talk about the Atua games coming up this week, Thursday and Friday at Golden State, Friday against Phoenix, which I think is the best team right now in the NBA. I guess I haven't followed Golden State since they were here and we beat them at Target Center. Talk about the two games. I'm assuming, is Steph Curry, is he back and healthy?
He's been back playing, yep, and they played last night and got a win against the Mavs. So I would assume that, you know, he'll have the chance to rest up again today. It's not like Thursday's the second end of a back-to-back or anything like that. So, he was missing in that first meeting with the Wolves a couple weeks ago. He should be back out there with Klay Thompson. And remember, Klay had just returned earlier that week in that first Wolves matchup at Target Center. So he'll probably even more of himself in terms of getting his legs back under him and getting back into a rhythm after such a lengthy time away. So the Wolves will have their hands full. You mentioned the back-to-back. You know, playing in Phoenix is hard enough on any night, let alone after you have to go toe-to-toe with the Warriors just 24 hours earlier. And I think it's almost good that the Wolves have this stretch ahead of them. You know, it's those two teams to finish up the road trip, then they come back home on Sunday and play the Utah Jazz, and then they've got the Nuggets on Tuesday. So two divisional opponents, all four of those teams the Wolves are looking up at in the Western Conference standings, and a real chance for, you know, as we talk right now, the Wolves are seeded seventh, which is the best position to have in that four-team grouping in the play-in picture. But I think the Wolves' ultimate goal would be to climb out of that play-in picture and into the top six, where you don't have to worry about, you know, single elimination games or double elimination. You get yourself a full playoff series. And so right now Denver is seeded sixth. I think they're a game and a half up on the Wolves. And, you know, just as fans and you know, as the team, I'm sure they're excited to be able to look at the standings this time of year as we creep into February and March. And look at where the Wolves are and look at where some of those other teams are and check the scoreboard and all of that fun stuff. We haven't had it much recently, so it's fun to kind of embrace it. And I think, you know, when we talk this time next week, we will know a lot more about where the Wolves have kind of either, you know, climbed to in that playoff picture or maybe, you know, slumped to and going to have to sort of get themselves out of a mini funk. We'll see. These are really four tough opponents, four tough matchups, but a chance for Minnesota to, A, like I mentioned, gain some ground in the standings, and B, certainly build up some confidence internally. If you play well against these teams, you got to feel good about, you know, most any matchup on a given night.
Phoenix, the top team in the West, Golden State second, Utah in the fourth position, Denver in the sixth position. Like Cal mentioned, all those teams on the docket for the Timberwolves this week. Timberwolves 24-23, a game above 500. More wins than they had last season. They only had 23 wins of last year. Cal, thank you so much for the time, like always. Hopefully it's a good week of a Timberwolves basketball, and we'll chat again next week.
You got it. Sounds great to me. Thanks, Aaron.